Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Morning, and you know what that means, my minions. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you guys could take time on a Saturday morning for the most important start or end of your week, and definitely the start of your day worldwide, right here on the Balance Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio. Your phones, your computers, our affiliate radio stations, anywhere you can pick up a signal. Heck, if you go out your back door, you might be able to hear us. And, hey, we still use smoke signals to broadcast the Balance. So it is so good to have you along with us, no matter how long you've been listening to us or how you do listen to us. Well, guys, as always, there is never a disappointment. When you come on board the Balance on Saturday morning, you know you've got a full plate. A full balance of everything USDA government required balanced diet of sports. And today is absolutely no different at all. Obviously, coming up here in just a few moments, we always start our show off as fast as we can, talking racing with the guys from Radio Speed Talk. This week, we've got Cliff Tanner going to be talking about, well, rumor has it, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. IndyCar, yes, back in the rumor mill. Randy Bernard, CEO, yes, no, well, we're going to get into that discussion. Also, NASCAR, we're going to get into that, and the chase continues, and the chase tightens up in the NASCAR race series. Also, coming up here at 9:30, college football Saturday, myself, Jimmy the intern, Evan Williams from Purdue University, Jimmy the intern from down at IU, and Pete LaFuscia making a cameo appearance, going to be breaking down this week in college football. Also, Elizabeth the Greek and her picks. I'm telling you, if you've not heard Elizabeth the Greek, I would wait on making your picks until you get to Elizabeth the Greek. You can also find her Facebook page. Just search Elizabeth the Greek. And then also, we're going to talk about the Colts, the Titans. Good win last week against the Browns. We're going to break that down a little bit, kind of look at some of the performances that the team has done. Obviously, they're going to have to figure out a way to play four quarters to make this happen. And as we saw last week, they're still not quite there, even though they were able to pull out a win and should be able to pull one out this week as well. And then, of course, the Giants and the Tigers. My Cardinals did not make it to the World Series. And what a disappointment it was. But they played all the way to the end in the rain, in the monsoon. Did you see that? That was incredible. And we hope to have Mark Timmons of L.A. Dodger Talk on to talk with us with that. If not, it'll definitely be me, you, and the Minions. 917-889-8516 is the digits to join the show at any time if you have a comment on any topic that we're talking about. And, of course, coming up at 10:30, bottom of the hour, fantasy football huddle, guys. I'm going to tell you what, you want to, if you're in fantasy football and you're a fantasy football geek like myself in our Balanced Fantasy League, well, you don't want to miss it. Axel's going to join us in. And you never know who stops in during the fantasy football huddle. So, guys, I tell you what, we've got a great show planned for you today. You do not want to go anywhere because when we get back, well, you know, we're going to be talking some racing.
Late one night, when
my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from its slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mask.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
I ain't no fiend, just a bean, has been. Chillin' out the living, hey, you know what I mean. Got a kick-ass message for your Halloween screen. Got any doubt? Check this out. Give me some skin.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance, and we're ready to kick things off. As always, as fast as we can do it, we join Mr. Cliff Tenner of Radio Speed Talk. Clifford, how are we doing today, sir?
Hey, man, I'm getting on the backside of a cold. I've been fighting all week, but, hey, I'm feeling pretty good. A lot of excitement going on in the racing world right now.
Absolutely. And you know what? Here's the thing. We're going to get into this conversation about Randy Bernard and IndyCar and that sort of stuff. But it just seems like that there's always something big going on in the racing world, and we're glad that you can be a part of that for us. Radio Speed Talk is on here every Sunday afternoon, immediately following the Colts game. What do you guys got going on this week, sir?
Oh, man, we got a lot of stuff. We actually, first of all, I want to start by saying our thoughts and prayers go out to Bob Jenkins, who retired at the end of this year. His wife lost her battle with cancer, I believe it was Wednesday night or Thursday night. Mm-hmm. So thoughts and prayers out to them to start that off with. I tell you, we also announced a new contest coming up, and we're going to run it till November 20th, and we're going to pick two winners after that. But we did this a few years ago, and it worked out well. But take any driver, any series you want, and come up with some obscure music, an old song pulled out of nowhere that best describes your favorite driver. And I got a feeling a lot of it was going to be about Danica Patrick, but we won't get into her today. We talked NASCAR. We talked the ARCA Championship from last week. We had Bill Holder on, who has written numerous books and articles about racing all the way around. He actually did a pretty cool picture book on the 100-year history of Winchester Speedway. We had him on. So there's a lot going on, man.
Absolutely, and I'm glad that you must have my cue sheet here, because I was getting ready to talk about Bob Jenkins and what a great class act he is. Lives here in Indiana, up in Carmel, and just a great class act, and obviously been a part of IndyCar for a very, very long time. And you know, we know that his wife has been battling cancer for a good little bit here, and unfortunately she did lose that battle. So our thoughts and prayers do go out to Bob Jenkins and his family. So thanks for bringing that up. Well, unfortunately, now we got to move on to another rumor, if you will. And Randy Bernard, is he in? Is he out? I don't know. Well, according to IBJ, which is, in my opinion, a very reputable source here in Indianapolis, and for those of you that don't live here in the Indianapolis area, IBJ is the Indianapolis Business Journal site, and they're usually pretty dead on. Now, why a site like IBJ? It's not like it was some local blogger or something like that. This was a very legitimate media outlet source that reports that IndyCar Series have fired CEO Randy Bernard. Of course, when we look at the press releases from IndyCar and we look at the statements from Randy Bernard himself, says he's still in a job. So, thoughts?
Well, you know, there's so many emotions and thoughts running around my head when you hear something like this. And you're right. I mean, the IBJ is, you know, I read their stuff all the time. So, you know, they're very credible. What it is somebody inside told them, you know, it's a source thing. And you hear these all going on all the time. But, you know, Doug Bowles, you know, came out with a statement in that same article and said, you know, it's the same now, it's the same then, you know, so on and so on. I'm sorry, there's too many coincidences here going on. First you have Tony George, who removes himself from the board, and then you have the board that supposedly fires him because they're upset that, you know, he lost $7 to $8 million this last year when he guaranteed they would break even in 2012 and be in the black in 2013. Now, $7 to $8 million, you said, you know, you think about that, put it into terms. I mean, Obama spends that and makes our deficit higher in 27 seconds with that. But for them, that's a big deal. And I just, you know, we talked about this last week, Tom, and I said, do not be surprised if there's not a hostile takeover coming here. And it smells of it more and more every time we hear something like this. And it's going to be interesting. They didn't want to release it until they had something in place. And, you know, I'm sorry. It just smells and it scares me what's going to happen to the IRL. I think they need to keep the guy in here. I don't care what anybody says. He's done a heck of a job coming back from where they were. This is probably the best year IRL's had in a long time. I mean, look, they've even added on some races and two race weekends this week, you know, or this coming year. So I don't know, man. I don't know what to believe, but it scares me. Number one, Tony George is going to be back in charge. But in all of this story, nobody has ever said who this group with Tony George is.
Right, absolutely. And as I said on the show here, it just doesn't pass the smell test. And somebody else that doesn't pass the smell test is joining us as well from Radio Speed Talk, your partner in crime, Mr. Kenny Barr. Kenny, how are we doing, sir?
Hey, Kenny, I'm doing the smell test, ladies, because I just got out of the shower of a beautification ritual. So
No visuals on the show today, sir. We don't care about your shower time or your candle time. What's that?
I mean, I smell it. I won't talk to you about a shower.
Well, I'm glad that you could join us. You are a surprise visit today, and you're always welcome. You don't need an invite to come in here. But I am glad you joined us because I do want to get your thoughts real quickly on Randy Bernard. We do got to move over to some NASCAR because there's just never enough time to talk about everything. But what are your thoughts about Randy Bernard? In, out, what's going on?
Is he the guy that came from the rodeo circuit?
No.
Yes, he is, actually.
Is he? Oh, yeah, he is. You're right. Yeah. I was thinking of somebody else there at the track. But, yes, you're right. He did.
Is he really gone?
We're saying yes. My opinion is yes. It doesn't pass the smell test. But, you know, if you look at the Indy star, Kurt Cavett, and I know him very well throughout the Indy Car Series, he says that IndyCar CEO Randy Bernard told the Associated Press that he has not been fired and he is not negotiating a settlement to leave his position. So as Cliff just said, it just doesn't pass the smell test. And, you know, one of IndyCar's best-known drivers called on the sport to end the considerable speculation around Randy Bernard's future as the CEO. In a published report, as we just talked about, from IBJ, which a very, very credible media outlet, quote sources saying that he has been ousted. And that was also echoed through ESPN and other national outlets, which ESPN, you would think, wouldn't just go out there on a limb. So as this is the political season, this is the time for cover-ups, And it looks like there's a big cover up in the works over there at IndyCar, Kenny.
Oh yeah, well if he's gone, Tony George is lining himself up. IndyCar lost $7 million, $8 million last year, which I did not know that. I thought they were doing a little bit better than that. IndyCar's in trouble. IndyCar's in trouble because George gets a hold of it and they're already $7 or $8 million in a hole for this season. Good heavens.
Well, you know, I was looking at...
You better start watching NASCAR more.
We're going to get into NASCAR right here in just a second. I was looking at Twitter yesterday. You know, Graham Rahal basically says, come on, people, either keep Randy or fire him. This is foolish and embarrassing to the sport. And again, we go back to that very credible, in my opinion, very, very credible, and then echoed that very same sentiment by local media here, national media, ESPN, and the Speed Network also made a statement that it appears that they're out. NBC Sports made a statement on their site that, you know, that reports are saying that, and maybe it's all linked to this IBJ report, but at the same time, I would not, to me, all these other national outlets who really have a lot lining on by not, they have to verify some information. And let's face it, a lot of those people have the same sources, if not better sources than IBJ, and for them to make a statement on it as well. I agree with Cliff. It looks like we've got a hostile takeover. So in the mix. But I tell you what, hostile or not, like him or not, Jimmy Johnson earns another pole for the Sprint Car Series event. So let's shift gears on into NASCAR. Jimmy Johnson's championships hopes to get a boost when he won the pole in Sunday's Sprint Car down in Martinsville in Virginia. You know, we had thought maybe there might be some issues with Hurricane Sandy coming in that might affect the race. And that might be some possibilities of some things going on there that has been downgraded to a tropical storm. So maybe that will come into effect. Of course, we know very well NASCAR handles rain very well, and the fans handle it even better. So Jimmy Johnson, Martinsville pole. Let's start with you, Cliff. And what are your thoughts?
Well, there's two things I think you might want to start getting used to saying, and you know, Jimmy Johnson is going to be the 2012 champion the way it looks. And I'm not saying that, you know, I still am pulling for Brad. I still think it's his to lose. But when you qualify 32nd after Jimmy does first, and Kenny and I had an argument on the show, well, not really an argument, but a discussion on the show. Paul Wolf knows what he's doing, and he's a crew chief for Keselowski. He has really been qualifying pretty bad. And, you know, I mean, 31 positions down, you're on a short track. It's not going to take Jimmy long to catch you if you don't start moving up that track. So this could be a big turning point in this championship. Granted, there's still four races to go. But, you know, I have to agree with some of the experts are saying you can only have bad qualifying, you know, for so long before it starts to come back and bite you. And, you know, again, Keselowski is a great driver, and he can get through that field. But Jimmy Johnson, in my opinion, right now has a momentum flying his way.
And, Kenny, I want to talk with you about the technical aspects of the track at Martinsville. It's a fun track to watch. But we also know very well from the history of Martinsville, a race can get out of control for a driver real quick. So what are some of the technical things that crew chiefs have to look at when preparing for the Martinsville race?
Technical things? No, not that much technical. You just got to keep your nose clean. You know, and remember how the race ended last spring with, I think it was Gordon and Johnson out front, and they both got moved late in the race? Uh-huh. Yeah. You got to worry about the other drivers, and then you have to do the technical thing. And Cliff and I disagree somewhat on team orders. I got a feeling that somebody's going to be have a heat round out there for Jimmy Johnson, get him out of the way early. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be a big old crash fest. They really haven't had that bloodthirsty, nasty accident. Now, Kansas was full of accidents, but it wasn't because of the cars and the drivers. Martinsville, I think, is where you're finally going to see this firecracker explode, and people are going to start moving people, and tempers are going to flare. And I think you're going to have two or three guys that are in the chase have some lousy races, and comes Monday morning when they look at the standings, everybody's going to shake their head and go, "Whoa! What happened here on Sunday?"
Well, you know, as we know, anything can happen there at Martinsville. I do want to talk about another storyline here going on there at Martinsville. Obviously, Junior's back after being shaken up a little bit and with his concussion. Let's talk about that, because concussions have become a major part of when you look at, especially talking the NFL, and we know all the safety features and stuff, Kenny, that NASCAR has put in place to protect the driver. But when you look at situations like Dale Jr., and then we just have to be reminded about what happened with his father, how far do they push this, and is Dale ready to come back on the track so soon?
Well, I got to tell you, go ahead.
Dale's probably ready to come back on the track, and I don't know if they need to push it much, but I think that they need to adopt that same test that the IRL and F1 have. And the more I think about it, I think they ought to do this across the board on a lot of sports that have concussion possibilities. You know, every driver every spring or every preseason has to go through and get some sort of brain scan to see what their normal brain functions are. And any time they're in an accident, that sort of kind of maybe might ring their bell a little bit before they're allowed back on the track, whether it's a tire test or a practice session or a race, they got to go get retested to see if everything's still functioning the way it should function. I think that's a terrific idea, and they ought to adopt it next season, right, as soon as they can possibly adopt it.
Cliff, go ahead.
Well, you know, I agree with Kenny. They got to come up with some kind of way, because, you know, until this came to the forefront, you really don't think about it. Like, yeah, they got the Hans device and everything, but, you know, when you hit a wall or something like that, you can't stop your brain from moving. I mean, they haven't come up with anything for that. As far as Dale Jr., is he ready to come? You know, I got to tell you, the last couple of weeks I've been doing a lot of research and a lot of thinking, and you know, and this is coming out the top of my head. I was wondering if maybe he wasn't set himself up to retire. But I honestly believe he had it, and I've had three concussions, so I know what he's talking about. It does. It messes your head up, and sometimes you get disoriented. But I got to tell you, the way he's looking right now, he was second fastest in practice yesterday. I think he's ready to come back, but the true test will be once he gets in around a bunch of other cars at race time, and that's going to be the true test.
Absolutely. Well, Martinsville, like I just said a while ago, anything can happen out there in Martinsville. And you know, also, it's good to finally be talking about the truck series, the Camping World truck series, and whichever one of you guys want to take this. But the top two contenders for the 2012 Camping World Truck Series, Ty Dillon and James Buescher, finished second and third, respectively, in the first race this year at Martinsville. Ty Dillon, I like him a lot. He's a guy that's trying out a lot of different race series. What are your thoughts? In my opinion, Ty Dillon has a very, very good shot at winning this Truck Series championship.
It's his to lose. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And I have said, I mean, he's a much better driver than Austin. I know that upsets a lot of people, but that kid is one of those guys. I think he's going to come up through the ranks, and he's going to be a Tony Stewart, where he can drive just about anything and win. It's his to lose, and he's good. And I mean, obviously, he's got a good team behind him. But James Buescher, man, that kid just impresses me. We interviewed him when he was just riding part-time at Michigan quite a few years ago. And he just impresses me. And that kid can drive through some stuff. So it's gonna come down to the wire. And I think it's going to be less than 10 points. But Ty Dillon is the guy that's going to win the championship. I'm all positive for that.
Well, I absolutely do agree with that. Now, Kenny, do you have anything on the truck series?
No, but I do have something that kind of ties that together a little bit. Hey, Cliff, do you remember where that boy started racing? On dirt.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know, that brings me to my next topic, because we didn't really get a chance to get into it much last week, and unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time. It seems like IndyCar and their amateur hour over there at 16th and Georgetown have not been able to get things right, always push my agenda back a little bit. So, you know, guys, get your act together so we can talk about some real racing that really matters. But we have to talk about it because people are talking about it, because that's what we do. So I want to talk about, Tony Stewart in his track at El Dorado, out there in Ohio, dirt track, Eldora, and you guys go out there to the big race that, they have out there with the NASCAR every year, and you guys know that track well. Is it a good fit for the Truck Series? Obviously, Tony Stewart thinks so for obvious reasons, but from the common sense business aspect and fan aspect, is it a good spot for the NASCAR Truck Series? Because that's where they're thinking about going along the line. What you're saying is that NASCAR needs to come back to dirt. They're going to try it out in the Truck Series first and try out some tracks with that, and certainly one of them is Eldora. So, Cliff or Kenny, when do you guys want to talk about that?
Well, first of all, let me go here. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, man. I'll piggyback you.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, first of all, you know, it is a smart move. I think NASCAR needs to get back to dirt. If they're going to do other things, they should do it. But keep in mind, these are just preliminary talks. Nothing has been set. But keep in mind also, I think it's more of a possibility than we think, because the Camping World Truck Series is the only one that doesn't have a verified schedule yet. Everybody else does. And just to let you know, the Prelude to a Dream is taking a year off. So they're trying to replace that with that truck race. The Prelude to a Dream is becoming a three-day weekend that's going to take some more time to get together. So, you know, Tony is pushing for it. I think we should see it. We haven't seen a NASCAR dirt track race since 1970. So, you know, and Eldora has got a lot of areas people can sit. It can still pack it in pretty good, and they can get a good turnout, you know, fan-wise. So I think it's a smart move, and I hope they do it. I really do, because I think we need to push for that dirt, because that's where a lot of these guys have come from.
Kenny, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I agree with Cliff. The place holds 21,000 permanent seats, and you can bring in a whole bunch of temporary seating. You can probably double that pretty easy, because there's a lot of room on the backstretch and over in turn three and four, although they did put a couple sets of grandstands up over there. And the other thing you keep in mind is they can make that a pay-per-view as an experiment for NASCAR to use that as another revenue stream, perhaps. And don't forget how many people are dirt track fans that aren't NASCAR fans. There's a gazillion of them out there. And if they're trying to expand their fan base and feed the 800-pound gorilla like they always say they are, I think this is a heck of a good idea and a great experiment, and it will work, you know, way beyond their expectations.
So we got to look at Tony Stewart. You know, again, being a track owner, a team owner, a driver, he's got more balls in the air than a juggler. And so hopefully none of them come crashing down and none of Tony's balls get hurt. We wouldn't want that to happen. But especially with you know, when he's got to find a new crew chief to build a race program to support that up and coming Danica Patrick, who will compete full-time in the Sprint Cup Series. And we'll save that for another day and another time. Talking about Martinsville, guys, real quickly here. I'm just seeing some things come across my ticker here that Sandy has strengthened to a hurricane status, according to the National Hurricane Center. Now, that Martinsville track, it will feel the blunt of that storm. Is there a contingency plan? Do they call it off early? Because of the hurricane, or they just run it like a regular rain delay, see what happens, and push it back after Sandy's moved on? Or some of the things that are coming across Twitter, that Martinsville could get postponed or permanently canceled for this year. So real quickly, guys, thoughts on that?
First of all, that's never going to permanently get canceled. It's NASCAR. They will run it like a rain delay and try to get that race in no matter what. I don't think I've ever remembered ever that they called a race early because of rain. They'll try and wait it out. I mean, obviously, that's going to weigh down a little bit on that. But they'll get it run, whether it's on Tuesday or Wednesday, but they'll get it run.
So, Kenny, does a hurricane really come into effect when crew chiefs and race officials are – we look at this. This is a hurricane, and we look at some of the things that the history of this storm is happening. And we're as a nation, we are paranoid about hurricanes, and we look at bad things that have happened to just spectators in general. We look at what happened here at the Indiana State Fair. We look at a lot of different events, not necessarily NASCAR. Does that weigh down on the decision? And does that change a crew chief's plan or strategy, knowing that, hey, now we've got a hurricane to deal with, we've got different variables and different factors coming in?
Well, from a fan safety standpoint, you know, you just batten down the hatches, tell everybody to stay home till this thing passes. From a a crew chief standpoint, it's no different than a gargantuan gully washer that washes your rain out on Sunday, and then you go back to a green track on Monday. As far as car setup and things, of course it's going to change because you always worry about track temperature and humidity and grip because of the rubber gets washed off the track. But that's nothing new under the sun for the crew chiefs and the decision makers of the chassis guys and the drivers and stuff. First and foremost, obviously, we've got to think about safety. We lost a fan or two, and I shouldn't giggle about it because it's serious business, over in Pennsylvania due to a lightning storm, and nobody even knew that lightning was going to be striking. So got to make sure the fans are safe first, and if Sandy hangs a left and dives into Virginia, stay home, everybody, and they'll get this thing running. Like Cliff said, it'll be Tuesday or Wednesday, but I absolutely don't see them trying to cancel it or reschedule it for after Homestead or whatever. But I do have a question. What's the next race on the schedule? Are they close to Virginia, or are they going somewhere out of town?
Don't ask me things I don't know about, dude.
Hang on, I'm getting right up. I don't remember either.
Yeah,
Cliff
is getting it up.
Texas,
hold on
Phoenix.
Here.
Texas is next. Go ahead. It's Texas and Phoenix and Homestead. That's the three races after this.
Well, that may weigh it on the decision on what they do, because Texas is halfway across the country, and, you know, you got to get cars prepared and ready to go. Although the Chase teams have enough people and enough help and enough chassis in the stable to do that. They'll get it in. Even if they got to run Wednesday, they'll get it in. It's going to be a heck of a turnaround time for the truck drivers and stuff, though.
Well, guys, I tell you what, we're going to have to make that it. Unfortunately, we've got to get on into college football Saturday. What I do want to find out from you guys, anything that you guys want us to know about your show tomorrow that's going on right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Well, like I said, we got Bill Holder on, a fan that knows a lot about racing. The new contest, pick a driver, put the best song together. Go to RadioSpeedTalk.com and put it in the comment section. Two winners on November 20th. You will get a free $50 gas card for the two winners.
All right, Kenny Barr and Cliff Tanner, real quickly, guys, where can people find you on the Internet and your masterpieces?
Well, again, you can go to RadioSpeedTalk.com, Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk, or you can catch Kenny at KennyBarr52 on Twitter, or I'll be on RadioSpeedTalk 2 on Twitter.
All right, and Kenny, where do you what are you at? Radio Speed Talk, Kenny Barr 52, right?
Yep, on Twitter at Kenny Barr 52, and email us. You're welcome to get into this contest, but you know, if we catch you using the pseudonym, we're going to throw your ideas
I understand. No worry, guys. Well, we'll catch you guys next week, and hopefully we'll be able to get all the NASCAR in. Hopefully there won't be any more major setbacks from IndyCar. They just always got to be hogging the news, don't they? Guys, we'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and we got college football Saturday right around the corner. Stay there.
Get service. Watch. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
Looking for an easy way to waste 2 hours of your life? Then tune in to What Is That Show? The podcast, right here on The Balance Online. Kevin Corman and me, Pete LaFuchsia, we pretty much talk about anything and everything. Sports, we talk about it. Entertainment, we talk about it. Music, we talk about it. Hey, speaking of music, this week's guest in studio is rapper, producer, and entrepreneurial mogul, Mo Cheese. Well, I want to ask him a little bit about the football. You said you're not a fan of any team but player. Who are some of your favorite players you like?
Of course, I'm definitely a big fan of Drew Brees.
Purdue guy.
Yeah, I love Drew Brees. I love Peyton Manning. Michael Vick is another player that I like. That's about it, you know, when it comes down to football.
I really wish he would play for the Cleveland Browns, because that would be such irony right there.
No.
The dog pound.
I never thought I would see him doing, you know, as good as he is in football again, you know.
Yeah, I thought that him going to prison, he was going to come back. Yeah, he was going to play a little bit, but he was going to be relegated to the back area. In other words, like, okay, well, he came in, he did a little bit, he did some backup. He in other words, he made a little bit of more money. I mean, the situation he is in is probably the best he could have, because, okay, if there's any more group of asshole fans out there, it's got to be Philadelphia fans,
yeah,
and
right.
They're the ones who could accept asshole.
Right.
That Chargers did. Yeah, I don't even think the Raiders are that bad.
Yeah, the Raiders ain't that bad.
Here's the thing.
They
the Raiders
look like it. They just look cool.
I think the Raiders, it's because of the whole black and silver that's kind of intimidating.
Right.
Whereas up until recently, the color green that the Eagles used was not that intimidating of a color. When they went to that harsher looking green, then and colors everything. I mean, let's be honest with
you. Yeah, definitely.
If you put the Oakland Raiders and the then Houston Oilers on a field in their powder blue, who's more intimidating by looks?
Oh, exactly.
Okay, that's why when I see people wearing powder blue North Carolina, I just want to think, okay, yeah, this is somebody who is really super fruity. Yeah, that's What Is That Show, the podcast, with host Kevin Corman and me, Pete LaFuchsia. Remember to like us at facebook.com/whatisthatshow.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. Want to give you a little sneak peek at the new show presented by The Balance Radio Network. And what show is this anyway? I tell you what, it's a pretty good show. It's got a good hodgepodge of everything put together. Pete LaFuchsia is going to join us here in a minute with College Football Saturday, him and his counterpart as well. Guys, so you know, the programming here on the Balance Radio Network keeps getting better and better, but it doesn't get any better than the Balance right here. Right now, College Football Saturday. All right. It's welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente, my minions. It is time to talk some College Football Saturday. Joining me is Mr. Jimmy the Intern from down in Indiana University, Pete LaFuchsia. You just heard him host of What Show Is That Anyway? A very clever title, who will be airing right here on the Balance Radio Network as well. Well, we want to jump right into things, guys. Guess what? IU is number one. Absolutely. Well, I wish we were talking about football, but unfortunately, we are talking about basketball. IU sweeps the poll, ranked number one in the AP preseason college basketball poll. So we got to give the first question we yield to our gentleman from Bloomington, Indiana, down at IU, Indiana University. You guys have to be ecstatic down there, Jimmy.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for having me. I was under the impression it was College Football Saturday, so when I hear IU is number one, I hardly knew what to do with myself.
I know, exactly.
When you put out basketball, it makes a lot more sense, and I'll tell you what, that everybody down in Bloomington is absolutely ecstatic about the prospects for this team. I was actually up in Chicago the other day for Big Ten Media Day. The IU team was there. Coach Crean was there. And then the individual players, Derek Elson, Jordan Holes, Christian Watford, and Cody Zeller, the big handsome himself, they were all taking questions from the nationally assembled media. People seem to think that they're pretty good. Everyone in the Big Ten is saying the same thing. And Seth Davis, resident IU hater, I guess you would say, he's a contrarian who enjoyed getting under the skin of Hoosier Nation last year. Even he seems to have come over to the dark side, if you will. He just ran a piece, I believe, in Sports Illustrated that says that IU right now is the prohibitive team to beat. They should be the prohibitive favorite, and even Seth Davis is on board. Tom, maybe the Mayans are right. Seth Davis is coming around on IU being the number one team in the country, so I really don't know what to say about that. But right now it looks like they are the best team, the deepest team, and the team with the fewest holes. There's a long way to go. But IU is sitting in a pretty good position right now, and with everything they've gone through, I don't think there's anything wrong with them enjoying the view from the top of the mountain for a little bit.
Well, absolutely, and it is good to see them at the top of the mountain. And speaking of just the mountain himself, is Mr. Pete LaFuchsia. Thanks for joining us today, Mr. Pete. I know you're very busy with your other radio show and the other stuff that you've got going on, and of course your national tour road trip of being a comic. How was Kansas? And how did the crowd treat your comedy appearance out in Kansas last week, sir?
Well, I go to Kansas all the time, and I've said this before. I'm kind of a drawn to Peak. I don't know why. I still don't know why. Probably one of the worst ones I've had in a while there. But I think that's the aesthetics of the club and things like that. But one thing I did for this is the first time I've ever done it. I had to do radio, but it wasn't your typical jock radio coming out of a country song or going into a hip hop song. No, it was Kansas NPR. So it was a bunch of welcome back to Kansas today. We're going to talk Sunflower Comedy tonight. If you're up in the Topeka area, comedians Bill Kelly and Pete LaFuchsia are here. How are you guys doing? So it was that soft monotone NPR stuff, and you wonder, okay, am I allowed to tell a joke? Or I you didn't know what the boundary was. I think if I could ever get a copy of it, I don't think I said anything other than, hey, it's great to be here. That's about it.
Well, we got
to
get
it was good out there, and it was exciting to be at a place that has a team that's doing well. I mean, Kansas State, wow, talk about the whole area. It's purple. I mean, everybody's wearing their purple. They're proud of their cats out there. So,
well, absolutely, and I do want to get into that because I'm sure, Jimmy, you can hone in on this. Kansas State is doing a heck of a job, and who saw them coming? But it is Big Ten Rivalry Week here in Big Ten country. Obviously, Indiana at Illinois, not our biggest rivalry. We save that for last. I tell you what, the Hoosiers have started out, Jimmy, and I want to talk with you about this little guy by the name of Shane Wynn. He looks like a little kid out there compared to everybody else as far as size goes, but he's making some pretty hefty notations out on the field, and he might be a little guy in stature, but he's a big guy on the team. Talk with us about him and the impact in this Indiana-Illinois game.
Yeah, Shane Wynn, I'm glad you brought him up. He's been an integral part of the team all season long, actually leading IU in touchdown receptions, which at 5'7", 165 pounds, isn't an easy thing to do. I mean, he weighs a little less than I do, which at 5'7", is probably a good thing because he's a little more compact. But Kevin Wilson talks about him trying to go out and block people. Well, that normally doesn't work out well because a guy at that size can't do a whole lot there. But yeah, he should play a role in this Illinois game today as a kickoff return man, as a punt return guy. He's gotten in on some of those. And as a wide receiver, he's one of Cam Kaufman's favorite targets. Nate Sudfeld likes throwing to him as well. So he'll be a pretty good target for IU today if they want to come into Champaign and pull off what would be a minor upset right now, actually. People are putting IU as 2-point underdogs in Champaign, which makes sense. But the Illini have been pretty bad this year, too. If IU has a shot to win on the road in the Big Ten, it's going to be this game.
Well, absolutely. But they do have to get their air attack in motion, and they really do have to put they have to be able to figure out a way to play four quarters here, and they have to be able to figure out a way to get a win. And what a fantastic win it would be against Illinois. But they are going to have to, you know, they're going to have to change some things. Their pass offense ranks 19th in the nation with 303.1 yards per game, while they're above average on the ground, too, with 161.9 rushing yards per contest. The net effect is an offense that ranks 34th in the nation. That can't settle well in the stomachs of IU. So, Pete, what are your thoughts on IU and Illinois today?
I think there's going to be a really good game to watch of teams that, for lack of a better term, the who cares. It's got to be these guys because I think they're pretty closely matched. It's probably going to be one of the better matchups that IU is going to face this year. Yes, they're both setting at 2-5. That's nothing to be really brag about, but you're looking at teams that are kind of equal in a sense, and this is going to be a great preparation for IU when they go up against Purdue in the coming weeks. So we're basically looking at guys in the leaders division that are bringing up the basement. But again, it's going to be great, and I know that Purdue is their big rivalry, but the Indiana-Illinois, where I grew up, Northwest Indiana, that was it. It was people, they either liked Purdue and IU, and then they hated Illinois, or vice versa, so you had to bleed over there. So I kind of see how there could be a rivalry along that side of the state there. So don't kid yourself. It is a rivalry of sorts.
Well, we're doing College Football Saturday. We do this every Saturday. My name is Tom Marquise, El Presidente. I do want to give you guys a programming note. I am going to be moving houses, and unfortunately, when that happens, I'm not actually physically moving the house. I'm moving from one place to another, you know, the divorce and all that, just things happen. But so I'm actually moving into my new house coming up next weekend, and so I will be tied up. So next weekend, guys, it'll be a best of show right here, so everybody has the day off. But Minions, you do not, because we are going to have some of the best things, and I'm sure we can probably pull some stuff up from Jimmy and Pete, and you know, we're putting together the best of show that will run next Saturday here on the Balance Radio Network, and we'll be back on track the following Saturday. Well, I want to talk about our big game of the week here on College Football Saturday, and I don't think it gets any bigger in the Big Ten than this, and that's Wisconsin Badgers against Michigan. And what a good game that's going to be. This time we'll start with you, Pete. Give us the points of the game and the highlights of what has to happen in this game.
Well, the winning team has to score the most points, so that's going to be the big point right there. But this one is going to be a really – when I text you to ask you what was going to be the Big Ten game of the week for you, and you said, oh, I don't care, pick one, I almost wanted to reach through the phone and strangle you and say, really? Or you were being sarcastic. I couldn't figure out what was going on. But, again, yeah, this is a game with the Big Ten not doing as well as they are this year, they just got somebody back into the top 10, and that or 25, and that being Michigan. This is what they need, is some sort of a marquee game that's going to have people watching, talking, and that is going to be the Michigan-Wisconsin game. The key to the game is going to be, is Denard going to be on his game for the full four quarters, and is he going to basically lead Michigan and keep them going for the full four quarters against Wisconsin? That's probably going to be the key to the game. The team that basically plays the full game is going to be the one that's going to be dominant. I think it's going to be high scoring. I don't know if it's going to be as high scoring as the Ohio State-Purdue game was, but it's still going to be – we're going to see some big numbers up there.
Well, one thing for sure is that when it comes to Big Ten rivalries, I don't think there's anything bigger than the Spartans versus the Badgers. But anyway, good game, bad game. Jimmy, what are your thoughts, Wisconsin-Michigan State? And break down the points of this game on both sides of the fence there, sir.
Well, it's interesting to me. I mean, the game here that we're looking at is one with Wisconsin, who has been up and down all season. And, Tom, is it Michigan or Michigan State this weekend?
You're right, it's Michigan. But still, the point remains. My bad, sat sack myself. Thank you, Jimmy.
You had me scared.
I had myself scared there.
Well, you said Spartans. I'm like, did I make a butt of myself?
You know, it is Michigan. I do apologize. It's the Wolverines, but... Ding dong, the witch is dead. Go ahead, Jimmy.
But anyway, the game that we're looking at with Wisconsin, the way they've played throughout the season, I mean, early on, they really did not look good. They struggled to win games against teams that they were expected to blow out. People thought that Purdue was going to have a shot to win the division, you know, before Purdue went in the tank against both of these teams. And it, really, that's the bellwether that we can look at, because Purdue is pretty consistent. They are what they are, and we know at this point what they're not. They're not an elite team. They're reasonably average to below average in the Big Ten, which really isn't that good this year. Both Wisconsin and Michigan are solid squads. They do particular things well, and they have particular weaknesses. Now, Wisconsin's played a lot better the past couple weeks since they've been able to start running the ball. Moneyball is really good. James White as well. Both those guys on the ground are going to have opportunities to do big things. When I go back to what we saw when Notre Dame played Michigan, Notre Dame has been outstanding running the ball all season long. They struggled to get the ground game moving against the Wolverines because they were able to load up. So we're going to need to see Wisconsin make some big plays in the passing game, which is going to be difficult for them to do. I think that that's going to be the key to this game, seeing what Wisconsin does in the passing game. On the flip side, when we see Michigan with the ball on offense, we know what their offense is. It's give Denard Robinson the ball, get out of the way, and pray he doesn't make too many mistakes. Wisconsin's defense, I don't believe, is good enough to force him into a ton of mistakes. So I think we'll see the dynamic Denard Robinson, the guy who runs for 200 yards on the ground and throws for a couple scores when the defense loses contain on him. That being said, it's a game that seems pretty evenly matched. I don't necessarily believe in either of these teams, but I think that we're going to see Wisconsin with a bit of an advantage today. I think their running game is better, more consistent, and if you have to trust Denard Robinson to do too much, you're doing things wrong. But then again, I said that all last year about Michigan, and Michigan made it at 2 and won the Sugar Bowl, losing only one game all season long. Michigan's always been the team that I have trouble making sense of, and this is going to be another one of those weeks. But for this game, I think Wisconsin got the advantage. It's going to need to be through the air, but I think they can get enough done on offense to beat this Michigan squad.
Well, I do want to switch gears just a little bit away from the Big Ten to actually a neutral team. Notre Dame, I tell you what, this game between Notre Dame, and we talk about Hurricane Sandy being the perfect storm, this game between Oklahoma and Notre Dame has all the makings of a perfect storm, Jimmy. But you look at, you know, Notre Dame has really been on fire this year. There's no doubt about it. They have a great, great thing going for them. But one of those key aspects, one of those key links, did not make the trip out to Norman, and that's George Atkinson III. How much of an impact will George Atkinson III not showing up in Norman, Oklahoma, against the Sooners play in this, if any at all?
It's a little worrisome because Atkinson III has been the home run back all year, averaging about 8 yards a carry. He's got 2 50-plus-yard touchdown runs. He's one of the fastest players on the team and can break a long run at any point in time. That being said, I think his absence will have the impact of giving Sierre Wood, by definition, a few more carries. Sierre Wood, in my opinion, has been the best back on this team this year. Not Theo Riddick and not Atkinson, but he's been in Brian Kelly's doghouse. He got caught engaging in extracurricular activities, let's say, over the offseason, and he's been struggling to win Kelly's favor ever since. But the guy is basically a LeSean McCoy clone. He's an outstanding college back. He's averaging 6 yards a carry this year, and I think he just needs more opportunities. He was the leading rusher on last year's Notre Dame team, averaging more than 5 yards a carry. And he's another guy who's capable of breaking a big play at any point in time. I think we're going to see Sierre Wood get some more carries. And against Oklahoma, I think he's going to need to step up. I think he'll have the chance to have a big game. Notre Dame is going to need to move the ball on the ground. Everett Golson is going to have trouble against that Oklahoma defense. They need the offensive line and the running game to step up big if they have any shot at winning this game.
And I'm absolutely right. And I think they had a little bit of a wake-up call last week, and we'll talk with you about that real quick here, Pete. When you look at that play from last week, the one thing that Notre Dame cannot do is mess around in the red zone. And, you know, you look at that big play from last week, and it only turned out to be three points for the Irish. They did end up winning the game, obviously. Of course, a win is a win in the win column, and I know you're a big Notre Dame guy, but Notre Dame has to play a little bit better in the red zone, especially when you look at what BYU was almost able to do, and Oklahoma is no joke.
Well, I agree with you 100% on that one. And, yes, I'm a big Notre Dame fan, but I'm also a realist, too. I'm not one of these people that can blindly sit back and say, no, they're going to win. Okay. Basically, the reality is they've got a great defense. Okay. Nobody's going to deny that. And that defense has won them many of these games. But their offense does need to step up. I think we did have a couple great plays last week. The one where the back, everybody thought he was down. You see all these guys standing around the field, and he's running and gets another 30 yards out of it. That shows you right there what they need, many, many plays like that. And with a team like the Sooners, that defense could be able to stop them, but I don't know how much they're going to be able to stop them, because they will break out, and if they've got a little glimpse of light, they're going to go right at that tunnel. So that being said, it's going to be a really tough game for them. That defense is going to be beat up. The only good thing is if they can survive and get out of this, they've got kind of cream puff teams for a couple weeks before they face USC. So that's a good thing, but they've got to get past Oklahoma. Right now, I mean, everything you ever see on ESPN, Fox Sports, you listen to it on the radio, everybody says Notre Dame's overrated, and maybe part of that is the hype that they are Notre Dame. So the key is they've got to get past this. Maybe it'll shut some people up, and then they can show that, hey, they are a real contender, a real team. Obviously, if they can get out of the rest of the season with only one loss, they are going to be in a BCS game of some sort. A lot of people would like to see them in the BCS championship. I would too. But right now, they got to get past this Oklahoma team. And, yes, it is going to be the makings for a great, great game. And, hey, I'll get to watch it on TV this time as opposed to listening on radio like the last couple weeks. So,
hey, I tell you what, Notre Dame radio football coverage is the best. Not as good as Jimmy the Intern in his play-by-play with IU, but, you know, Notre Dame football. But one of these days, we're going to be tuning on, one of the big radio networks, and Jimmy the Intern's going to be there. Hey, we knew that guy back when. Back when we knew that guy. So that guy, Mr. Jimmy Intern, breaks down this really big game between Ohio State and Penn State. Obviously, the Buckeyes, the Nittany Lions, neither one of them really at the end of the season have any postseason stuff to worry about, but they both seem to have a lot to prove to the world. So that said, could prove to be a dangerous combination, Jimmy.
Yeah, Tom, people have taken to calling this the ineligible, which I really like.
I love it. That's great.
Because neither of these squads are going to be playing past November, which is unfortunate for the Big Ten, because Ohio State looks like the best team in the conference. The hiccup against IU excluded, and Penn State has bounced back really nicely after losing their first couple games, and they're currently standing at 5-2, I believe, and they've been the other best team in the conference. You know, it went from the beginning of the year, IU fans circling the game at Penn State as a game that was not only winnable but a really solid chance to win, and now people are looking at that totally differently. Bill O'Brien's done a great job turning around things really quickly in Happy Valley. I'm going to be interested to watch this game because both teams are inverse images of each other. Both have pretty solid defenses. Ohio State struggled a little more. But Penn State, instead of focusing on the old school ground and pound deal that they used to do under Joe Paterno, it's now a wide-open spread attack. Matt McGloin is probably the best pure passing quarterback in the conference, which any Penn State fan would have been absolutely ecstatic to hear. They probably would have looked like you were on shrooms if you had told them that last year, because he just didn't show a whole lot. I mean, this is a team that IU lost to 16-10 in the opener last year. This Penn State team is totally different. They're high-scoring. They're high-powered. And they're a different offensive mindset than we're used to seeing at Penn State. And quite frankly, it's a mindset that Ohio State has not defended so far this year very well. There are going to be a lot of points in this game, I think. I think both teams are going to have the chance to put up some big numbers, some fireworks on the scoreboard.
All right, Pete, what are your thoughts? Ohio State, Penn State, Nittany Lions, and I love that. And I don't know, and I'm a Twitter freak. I can't believe I missed that. Ineligible Bowl. Go ahead, Pete.
The ineligible That's exactly
I love it.
What I've heard, yeah. But what you've got to look at this game is, this is the future of the Big Ten right here. Think about the two coaches you've got, what they're doing under the sanctions and the ineligibility and all that, and the reduction in scholarships. Wow. I really never thought I would have saw this. And what's scaring me is Ohio State's doing this good without postseason eligibility. What are they going to be like when that is up? And maybe you can help me. Is it next year that they will be eligible, or is it the year after that, 2014?
Are you talking about Ohio State?
Yeah, Ohio State.
Isn't it 2014, Jimmy?
I believe that's right, yeah.
Okay, so
Ohio
in other
State
words,
has a little bit more.
So, in other words, what we're doing is we're looking at two coaches that are basically sitting back saying, okay, I'm slowly building my team, and they're like the guys at the Coliseum that are just holding the Lions back, teasing the Gladiators, okay, you know, and then they'll let them go, because that's going to be right there, boom. That leaders division is going to be the one to watch in 2-3 years, especially if Penn State – under what's going on, hopefully they can get some key people in there. I know that they're winning right now on the strength of the guys that didn't abandon ship, but it's good to see somebody who got knocked down like that, both of them teams, staying and doing really well. But in the Traverse, that would have been the opportunity for a team like IU, Purdue, or Illinois to come in and win that division. The guys that are never really expected to win it, but look like it would have made them look like a contender sometime. But it is going to be a great one. And like I said, the keyword, look to the future. That's what you're going to see.
All right. Well, we got to – speaking of looking to the future, coming up now, guys, and we'll talk about it on the other side of this. As always, Elizabeth the Greek, guys, make sure that you also check her out on Facebook, Elizabeth the Greek.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth the Greek. Stay tuned. My predictions are coming up right here on The Balance Online with the host, Tom Mom Keith.
Ladies and gentlemen,
what's your gut for me?
It's time for
Elizabeth the Greek.
I hear you.
Last week you had a really, really good week.
Well, Daddy, how good did I do?
That's a good question. You went 8-3. You ready to do this week?
Yeah. What games are we doing?
We've got a lot of them. Let's start off in college. The Big Ten. The Indiana Hoosiers or the Illinois Fighting Illini?
The Indiana Hoosiers.
The Indiana Hoosiers are going to beat the Illini. In the Big East, the Syracuse Orangemen or the South Florida Bulls?
The South Florida Bulls.
The South Florida Bulls.
Because they're going to beat them.
You're confident about that pick. Move on to a good one in the SEC, the number 2 Florida Gators or the number 10 Georgia Bulldogs?
Gators.
The Florida Gators. Let's stay with the SEC. We're going to have a battle of two undefeateds. The Mississippi State Bulldogs or the Alabama Crimson Tide?
The Alabama Crimson Tide.
The Alabama Crimson Tide. And by the way, that's number 11 versus number 1. Let's move on to the Big 12. The number 14 Texas Tech Red Raiders or the number 3 Kansas State Wildcats?
Wildcats.
The Kansas State Wildcats. And the big game of the week, but it's always a big game of the week for you.
Daddy,
the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the number 5.
Who I'm going to pick.
Let me say it, okay? Are you going with the number 5 Notre Dame Fighting Irish or the number 8 Oklahoma
Fighting
Sooners?
Irish.
Wow, you know you let me get that out. Let's move on to the NFL in one of the first 1 o'clock games. Are you going with the Indianapolis Colts or the Tennessee Titans?
Colts.
The Indianapolis Colts. Another 1 o'clock game. The New England Patriots or the St. Louis Rams?
The St. Louis Rams.
The St. Louis Rams. Move on to 4 o'clock, a big one in the NFC. The New York Football Giants or the Dallas Cowboys?
The Cowboys.
Ooh. Moving on to the Sunday night game, the New Orleans Saints or the Denver Broncos?
The Denver Broncos.
And finally, on Monday night, are you going with the San Francisco 49ers? Let me get it out. Are you going on Monday night? Are you going with the San Francisco 49ers or the Arizona Cardinals? You're going with the San Francisco 49ers. We will do that. And who made all those picks?
Elizabeth McGee!
Well, Elizabeth, with the World Series starting this week, we are recording on a Tuesday. Tell me, who do you think is going to win the World Series? Is it going to be the San Francisco Giants, who are representing the National League, or is it going to be the Detroit Tigers representing the American League?
The Detroit Tigers, Daddy!
You're excited about that one. Now, they play 7 games for this World Series, and in order to win, you have to win 4 games. Are the Detroit Tigers going to win in 4, 5, 6, or 7 games?
I'm going to be trying to 5. How about they should do it in 5?
They're going to win in 5 because you're turning 5. Good one, okay?
But you can only like me on Facebook. Facebook.com/Elizabeth McGee.
All right, Elizabeth the Greek never lets us down at all. And obviously her proud daddy right on the air with us now, Mr. Pete LaFuchsia. So what we want to do, guys, as always, we're going to get a quick thoughts and rundown of the picks of Elizabeth the Greek. And that's going to have to do it for College Football Saturday. But we'll start with you, Pete, because it is you have a little bias in this. So go ahead, sir.
Do what?
Are you with us or Elizabeth the Greek right now?
Oh, I'm here.
I'm just playing with you. I said because that's your daughter there, you're a little bit biased, but we want to hear what your thoughts are on the picks from Elizabeth Greek.
I like what she picked with the Notre Dame, but I mean that's the one thing that I've ingrained in her, and the criticism that I've received is that. But another thing on her Facebook, I didn't put the Purdue game on because I got tired. She was picking against Purdue, and the Purdue fans are starting to berate her on her Facebook page. Why do you pick against Purdue? So, I mean, I might throw that game in there, but. Yeah, again, I think she did some really good picks. I don't know if necessarily the Florida Bulls are going to beat the Syracuse Orangemen in the Big East there. And I almost, when she was doing the Alabama-Mississippi State, I almost saw her mouth Mississippi State, which scared me because, let's be honest, okay, they're the glass tiger that is undefeated in football right now. That one is going to be an embarrassment for the Bulldogs.
Absolutely. All right, Jimmy, go ahead. I know we're up against the clock here, guys, and everybody's got to go. But, Jimmy, real quickly, what are your thoughts on Elizabeth the Greek's picks?
I was going to tell Pete, I mean, maybe she picks against Purdue because they just lose football games, Purdue fans. Sorry about you.
That's right.
Part of it is her mom is currently going to Purdue right now, and my wife's not a sports fan, but she rolls her eyes when she hears that, and she goes, honey, mommy goes to Purdue. I don't care.
All right.
The other two things I was going to say that, you know, it gives me a little encouragement that she's picking IU to win today. I think I'm going to do the same thing. And Notre Dame, maybe she's just picking Notre Dame every week because they're going to win every week. So far, she's been right.
Or the fact that we don't have a family room, we have a Notre Dame room. So what she tells everybody, well, we watch TV in the Notre Dame room. So, but yeah, I hope she's right on that one. And then in the NFL, I'm starting to notice a pattern. She likes the Colts and she likes Peyton Manning. I have to edit out certain things. She now knows Peyton Manning plays for the Denver Broncos, and she's got a Peyton Manning jersey, so therefore she's starting to pick him. I think she's a fan of his.
All right, guys, that's going to have to do college football Saturday. All right, Pete, are you going to stick around with us and talk a little baseball?
Yeah,
talk a little bit about your new show. Guys, and I know Jimmy's got to go, but Jimmy, where can people find your work and your masterpieces at?
Well, I'll give a little shameless plug. I'm calling today's IU game on WIUX.org. If your listeners want to check that out, it's WIUX.org. You can find my written work at IUSportCom.com and follow me on Twitter at JPCIV. Always good content coming your way from there. So shameless plug on that half.
Hey man, don't worry about it, man. You can plug yourself anytime you want. On that note, we've got to go, guys. We're going to take a break. When we get back, Pete LaFuce is going to be talking about his new show. What show is that anyway? We're going to be talking about the World Series for the next few minutes, and then we're going to get into Fantasy Football Huddle, my friends, so stay right there.
Looking for an easy way to waste 2 hours of your life? Then tune in to What Is That Show? The podcast, right here on The Balance Online. Kevin Corman and me, Pete LaFuscia, we pretty much talk about anything and everything. Sports, we talk about it. Entertainment, we talk about it. Music, we talk about it. Hey, speaking of music, this week's guest in studio is rapper, producer, and entrepreneurial mogul, Mo Cheese. Well,
I want to ask him a little bit about the football. You said you're not a fan of any team but player. Who are some of your favorite players you like?
Of course, I'm definitely a big fan of Drew Brees.
Purdue guy.
Yeah, I love Drew Brees. I love Peyton Manning. Michael Vick is another player that I like. That's about it, you know, when it comes down to football.
I really wish he would play for the Cleveland Browns, because that would be such irony right there.
No,
the dog pound.
I never thought I would see him doing, you know, as good as he is in football again, you know.
Yeah, I thought that him going to prison, he was going to come back. Yeah, he was going to play a little bit, but he was going to be relegated to the back area. In other words, it's like, okay, well, he came in, he did a little bit, he did some backup. He in other words, he made a little bit of more money. I mean, the situation he is in is probably the best he could have, because, okay, if there's any more group of asshole fans out there, it's got to be Philadelphia fans.
Yeah,
and
right,
they're the ones who could accept asshole.
Right.
That
them are the Raiders.
I don't even think the Raiders are that bad.
Yeah, the Raiders ain't that bad.
Here's the thing.
They
the
just
Raiders,
look like it. They just look cool.
I think the Raiders, it's because of the whole black and silver that's kind of intimidating.
Right.
Whereas up until recently, the color green that the Eagles used was not that intimidating of a color. When they went to that harsher looking green, then and colors everything. I mean, let's be honest with
you. Yeah, definitely.
If you put the Oakland Raiders and the then Houston Oilers on a field in their powder blue, who's more intimidating by looks?
Oh, exactly.
Okay, that's why when I see people wearing powder blue North Carolina, I just want to think, okay, yeah, this is somebody who is really super fruity. Yeah,
drive free.
That's What Is That Show? The podcast with host Kevin Corman and me, Pete LaFuscia. Remember to like us at facebook.com/whatisthatshow.
All right, Mr. Pete LaFuscia is joining us, the host of What Is That Show, and we're going to talk some baseball here in just a moment. But we do want to give some time and give your opportunity, because we are going to be airing this brand new show right here on the Balance Radio Network. So talk with us a little bit about what is this show anyway?
Well, the name says it all. What is this show? we don't know. We spent our whole first show trying to figure out the name of a show. It's something one of the interns that turned into an employee at my last radio station, him and I came up with. Kid's real ambitious. He's only 19 years old. He's a college student, and he owns a DJ service. He's one of these multitasked. I don't know when he sleeps, but him and I, we get together, we just have fun bouncing stuff off one another, and you know the formula for a good radio show is opposites, and we picked the opposite in the fact that he's 19 and I'm 40, okay? So the whole, I start talking about stuff, and he'll put me on track like, okay, you know, I wasn't born when people were singing the song Beat It by Michael Jackson, okay? And then I make fun of some of the stuff they do now. He brings things to the table I didn't know. So it's one of those, one of the first shows we brought in actor Jason Dixie, who's a friend of mine. We've been doing stand-up comedy. He's in the Midwest, been in some good movies. He brought us in on the next show that you're going to hear. He brought in a guy who's a rapper and a producer. He's on BET's 106 in Park all the time, a guy named Mo Cheese. And I think the name is funny and how he got it, so you'll hear how he got the name. But it was us pretty much just sitting around talking about stuff that's in the news for 2 hours. We had had some fun, just talk about anything, everything, and just to have a little bit of fun. It's been really fun. It's a good comedy outlet, no constraints of one subject versus another. We go into sports, and then we go back into movies, then we head into sports again, then go into pop culture. We just had some fun about it. So it's a good show. It's 2 hours long. You guys are going to enjoy it. I'm glad you're carrying it on the Balance Network for us.
Absolutely, and we're glad to have it. Well, guys, it's time to shift gears and get into, obviously, this is our segment for MLB. We're going to be talking about the World Series. Unfortunately, my Cardinals did not make it. It is the Tigers, and it is the Giants. And, guys, we're going to break that down right here in just a moment.
It happens in baseball. He talks about it.
Red Sox or Phillies, which team has the best racist fans in baseball?
Well, maybe not that.
Game over.
Back to the Balance Online with host Tom Marquis.
Well, and that's exactly what was going on with us Cardinal fans. Let me tell you, I was absolutely just devastated to see what happened with the St. Louis Cardinals, and they did finish off in a monsoon. And I liked it. For me, as a classic baseball fan, that game will go down in memory as the game that ended in the monsoon. Well, joining us also to talk about the World Series is Mr. $2 Bill Josh as well. Well, guys, let's get into it. It kind of is a good World Series. It's a good opportunity for good two teams who have been in the World Series before, but not your usual suspects. And so we're going to take two sides of the fence, and we're going to put, Pete, we're going to put you over on the Detroit side just because you live
okay.
Closer to Detroit. And then we'll put Josh over on the San Francisco side as well, and I will try to intermeet in between here, guys. So let's start with you, Josh, $2 Bill Josh, San Francisco Giants. They obviously have started off with a bang, and you look at what they were able to do to my St. Louis Cardinals. Now we look at a great start they have against the Detroit Tigers, and as we heard Elizabeth the Greek talk about, this is going to be over in five games. So San Francisco has to do something, and by the way, the weather's going to be changing a little bit temperature-wise for the San Francisco Giants. So what is on the agenda, Josh, for the Giants?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me back on the show today, Tom. And as far as the weather goes, it's not a fact that the Detroit Tigers aren't used to playing baseball when it's 40 degrees or 35 degrees out, so that doesn't matter to either team. The Giants need to keep coming up with clutch hits. They've gotten solid pitching. Tim Lincecum, apparently we learned how to pitch after a disastrous regular season. Sandoval had a great first game with three home runs. He trailed off a little bit in game number two. The Giants, you know, had a harder series with the St. Louis Cardinals. Maybe it kept them a bit more mentally fresh than the Detroit Tigers, who apparently walked into New York City and blew up the New York Yankees. So put that all together, I think this series will be over tomorrow night about 11:30.
So go ahead, Pete. What are your thoughts on the other side of the fence there?
Well, I think the time that the Tigers had off is what's kind of hurt them. With the Giants playing the Cardinals and having to take them all the way to seven games, sometimes that momentum just keeps carrying themselves. Look at the 2005 playoffs they had. The White Sox definitely were the dominant team there, but you get the Angels who had that great comeback game, and they played the very next day against the White Sox, and everybody's like, oh, they're going to be tired, they're going to be tired, and they came out and they rung their bell, but then got it handed to them for the rest of the playoffs. That's an example right there of sometimes a team that had to play seven games and then goes into a World Series or a divisional playoff playing the previous series while the other had time off, that hurt them. Now, I didn't see it definitely going they'd be dropping a 2-0, but I don't think that the World Series is going to be done in four games. I can't see the Giants doing it. I can be a believer that the Giants will maybe eventually win it, but I think they may have to take it to six games. I don't know if I necessarily agree with my daughter on the five games, which, well, we've already proven she's not going to – it's not going to happen. So, but the thing is, you've got to look at the Tigers. They've had some ups and downs. Look at their season as a whole. They had teams that they had – they struggled with for a little bit, but then came back against. This is one of those – get them at home. I think they'll be a little more comfortable. They'll knock out a couple wins, and then they can go back to San Francisco with the confidence on their sleeve that, hey, we've beaten these guys already. Let's keep doing it. That's the key that they'll have to do it, but they've got to turn it around tonight, because if they lose tonight, I can't see them going on a 4-0 tear all the way to game seven to win this. So this is a – you've got to stop them. You've got to stop them now and do it in front of your people. In your home stadium, that's going to be the key to it right there. Do it tonight. Do it in front of your people. And they got to win and win big.
Well, here's the thing. What you've got to look at is the Giants take a 2-0 lead over the Detroit Tigers. And you look at Volsong, who has been in the postseason ace so far. I mean, he has been unstoppable and going 2-0 with a 1.42 ERA with three starts. And facing temperatures that could drop into the low 30s, as we already said, it's the World Series, so that's not going to make much of a difference. But Volsong is the real deal, and I don't suspect that cold weather is going to be much of an issue for him at all. So we look at the pitching rotation, Josh, with the San Francisco 49ers, and what they have to do, really, as Pete just said, if the 49ers.
I don't think they're playing in this game.
Yeah, there's a game to watch, okay? You know, Alex Smith launches it to Prince Fielder, and Prince Fielder slugs the football in between the goal lines. Yes!
And Harbaugh's sitting in the dugout spitting sunflower seeds.
You know what, speaking of that, isn't that kind of funny how they've merged from tobacco to sunflower seeds to be politically correct? But that's neither here nor there. So we look at some of the things going on in the pitching rotation. I'll tell you one thing, the Giants have the pitching rotation to make it happen. And they proved that against the St. Louis Cardinals. Josh, what are your thoughts with the pitching lineup going into Game Four? And as we just heard Pete say, if they can win this game here and go back to San Francisco with three wins, the nail is beginning to start in the coffin, Josh.
Well, I would agree with that, except for the fact the only thing they're going to be doing when they get back to San Francisco is throwing a parade. The Tigers are pitching Hannibal Sanchez tonight, who doesn't belong in the World Series. It's laughable that he's getting the start. And then tomorrow night, you got Matt Cain, who threw a perfect game this year. I believe he also had another no-hitter. I believe he also had a one-hitter this year in Game 4 tomorrow night. Unless the Tigers are going to be forced to bring Verlander back on a few days' rest and hope to God he can find his pitching when he gets back to Detroit. But if his shoulder is turning him out of San Francisco and it's cold in Detroit, that's only going to make his shoulder problem worse, not better.
Well, one thing is for sure, the Tigers have lost five straight World Series games dating all the way back to 2006 against, well, the none other than the St. Louis Cardinals. They've also won five postseason home games in a row, and Detroit began that streak last year in the ALCS that they took against Oakland this year. And I tell you what, you look at what the A's were able to do this year, but here's their feather in the cap, and here's what I think they have to capitalize on. Hey, guys. Bin Laden is dead, General Motors is alive, and we swept the Yankees. Really, that's what I'm saying. Pete?
and they've also got, and the city of Detroit has Clint Eastwood doing commercials for him saying that, hey, we're alive, okay? Throw that in there, too.
Well, they've got an empty chair for him today, tonight out there in Detroit. But in all seriousness, though, that is a huge thing, and they've got to capitalize on that momentum that they swept the Yankees. The Detroit Tigers swept the Yankees to get to the World Series. That should be enough momentum to say, guys, nobody can stop us. It's only two games. It's the World Series. We're at home. Let's win something for our fans, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. And then another thing they got to – and this is something that you're starting to hear buzz about, too. I didn't know, and we talk about it on the podcast, What Does That Show, that the city of Detroit is down 70% of their cops. And if there's a riot, I can't imagine what that place is going to look like there when they win or lose, because you know that's going to happen. There's going to be riots of some sort, and that's something to be scared. I would rather that they win. Not that, oh, hey, guys sitting back there saying, hey, we got to win so the riots aren't so bad. I mean, they don't care about it. They got to, hey, we got to win because we need a ring so some of these guys can pawn it later. But the momentum from the Yankees game, yeah, is definite. They need to carry that momentum. They've got to remind themselves that, yes, they beat the Yankees. And I don't care, even if it's a bad year for the Yankees, beating the Yankees is still beating the Yankees and sweeping them out.
Well, absolutely, and that's a huge momentum there in there going in. Obviously, you know, obviously San Francisco isn't thinking about that at all. And again, they've got Ryan Volsong. I mean, the guy throws during the first inning of Game 6 of baseball's National League Championship, and you just look at he has the demeanor of a champion. He holds himself as a champion, and he certainly had a long journey to the World Series. Looking at what happened against the St. Louis Cardinals, Josh, here's the thing. Ryan Volsong is the real deal, but he is the momentum for the Giants. Agree or disagree?
I would agree with that. And while we're on the subject of momentum, do the Tigers really get momentum for beating the Yankees, who might be in worse shape than my Boston Red Sox?
See, and there you go. There's the root of it. The Boston Red Sox are not in the World Series and was swept by the Tigers swept the Yankees. So according to $2 Bill, Josh, Pete, the Yankees really aren't that good of a team anyway. So,
well, if we're talking about our teams, I should be mad that the Detroit Tigers are the one representing the American League, because you know what? Who led most of the summer in their division was my White Sox, okay? And then they go on a little slump there at the end of September and lose the division, and because of the way things are set up, they had to win the division to get in. So,
well, absolutely. And guys, we want to talk about my team. Guys, now I've got something.
Nobody in the Midwest outside of St. Louis cares about the Cardinals.
You might be surprised about that.
I know.
But you know what? It's an exciting World Series. I like seeing this World Series, the Giants and the Tigers. Like I said earlier, it's not the usual suspects in the Fall Classic. And certainly, history can be made. The question is where it'll be made and how it'll be made and who will be the key aspects of that. So let's start with you, Josh. Pitch it aside. And we realize that the Giants have the bullpen to make it happen. But do they have the sluggers to make it happen? And here's the thing. Momentary brain fart. Zinger, Ziegler, the guy that got in trouble with all the steroids and stuff. So, you know, I saw the tweets. Him, where would the Giants be without steroids, Bonds, and Ziegler? Ziegler?
Are you talking about Miguel Cabrera there, Tom?
Yeah, whoever. Yeah. My screen went blank on me, brothers. It does this at least once a show. But go ahead, Josh.
As far as if they have the sluggers, yes, they do have the sluggers, but you got to think at some point in time, Prince Fielder has got to show up in the World Series unless he's became the fatter version of Alex Rodriguez.
The fatter version of Alex Rodriguez.
Oh, I thought he said fatter version.
Hey, you know the Giants do have some chubbies on their team too, you know, so.
Wow.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Prince Fielder. You know, we look at where these National League sluggers, and we look at the same thing happened with Albert Pujols, going from the National League, to the American League for the designated hitter rule, because that's where sluggers go to retire, and that's where sluggers go to die, if you will, from the National League. So Prince Fielder is no different. Going over to the Detroit Tigers, Pete, how big of an impact does Prince Fielder actually play on this team?
Well, basically, he's going to make – so. Now that they're at an American League field and they get to go under the American League rules with the designated hitter, I think it is going to play a little bit of an impact, but it's also can turn around and help the pitchers there for the Giants that don't really have to bat. They can sit, rest their arm, not have to worry about it. I think it's going to be a little bit. If you're on a scale of 1 to 10, how much is it going to affect? Probably 3. Just a little bit, a minuscule little part.
Well, you know, we were hoping to be joined by Mark Timmons from L.A. Dodger Talk. I know that he is very, very busy with what he's got going on to get his thoughts on it, and maybe we could get him here in just a few moments. We're still trying to get him on. But, Pete, let's go ahead and wrap up the World Series talk for today. What are the key points? We're looking at the Tigers and the Giants today. Obviously, they're at Detroit. We touched on them, but what are some of the key points for the Giants in today's game?
Well, I'll say the big key point, the whole weather thing. Don't worry about this because, oh, they're the San Francisco guys. They're nice weather. You know what? A lot of these guys came up in the minor leagues. They played in cold weather cities. They played up in Canada. So that's not going to be a big factor. And people that throw that out there, who cares? So what you need to worry about right now is the Giants pitching. Is it going to stay effective as it has in the first two games? Will they continue their dominance over the Tigers? And I think that's going to be the key to the game, the pitching.
All right, $2 bill, Josh. What are the key points for today's game, the Giants and the Tigers up in Detroit?
How loud will Detroit be? Can Detroit get some pitching? And can the Tigers go panda hunting to keep Sandoval in check?
Panda hunting. I tell you one thing, though. Detroit fans do like their baseball, and they love their Tigers. There's no doubt about it. So I don't think we have to worry about how loud will the Detroit Tigers be. They're in the World Series. They're at Detroit. They love their Tigers. They love the World Series. I don't think that we have to worry at all about the how loud that'll be. And, well, now we do have Mr. Mark Timmons of L.A. Dodger Talk, who joins us every Saturday here to talk baseball with us. Mark, how you doing, sir? You're a little late, but we're gonna fit you in anyway. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, the dog ate my homework.
That's okay. Well, everybody dog gets it on the balance, gets either homework at least once. So we're talking about a great game. The Tigers, a great series. I'm sorry, the Tigers and the Giants. No, I'm just kidding. I am actually rooting for the Giants in this particular thing. One, National League. Two, if we're going to go down, I want to go down getting beat by the best. And right now, and you look at just at the last two games that have been played, what the heck? Do I even want to know what sound I'm hearing now? But I think we lost Pete. But when you look at how well the Giants are playing now, they're playing some championship baseball, and they got Volsong. Well, what are your thoughts?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, you, Mark. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
All right. No problem. Well, you know, it's pretty simple. I mean, the baseball gods have shined upon the Giants. You know, I mean, if you think back, and I may have even mentioned this last week, I mean, one of the best closers in baseball, Brian Wilson, they lost him in April. You know, Tim Lincecum's won the Cy Young Award twice, and, you know, he's had the worst earned run average of any starter in the National League. Then they picked up Melky Cabrera, who looked like he could even be an MVP candidate and win the batting title. And son of a gun, he gets suspended for steroids. And, you know, they go out and they make trades for Hunter Pence and Marco Scudero, who are not exactly world beaters. And these guys, and they got a 300-pound panda playing third base. And you know, these guys have just put it together. I mean, they had every reason in the world to quit. They had every excuse in the world to say, man, this is just not our year. And they just went ahead, even though they had all this bad luck. I mean, it was next man up. I just call them a bunch of junkyard dogs. I mean, that's what they are, junkyard dogs. I mean, they just latch on. They never quit. You don't mess with a junkyard dog.
Well, absolutely. And speaking of junkyard dogs, and, you know, you missed my little funny analogy a while ago. You know, the Detroit Tigers are like this. Osama bin Laden is dead. General Motors is alive, and we swept the Yankees. That's got to be some momentum for them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's baseball's a funny game. You just never know. I mean, look back 1988, the last time my Dodgers were in the series. I mean, Dennis Eckersley up, 3-2 count, the end of the game, best closer in baseball. Bang, out of here. Series over. I mean, it just cut out their hearts at that point when Gibby did that. So, I mean, you just never know.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this. Do you see any of those types of history in the making in a perfect storm, if you will, in a brew between the two dugouts? Will this end in five games or will this end in a dramatic seven-game challenge?
You know, who knew any of this stuff? I mean, if I could correctly predict this stuff, you should lock me up and throw away the key, because I'm certifiably insane. I mean, you can't come up with this stuff. I mean, Pablo Sandoval, he hit 12 home runs this year. He hits three in the first game of the World Series. This sucker weighs 300 pounds. You know, I mean, he's never seen his shoes for months.
Kind of like me, Mark.
He's in the history books with Babe Ruth, Albert Pujols, and all these guys.
Well, we're ran to the end of our World Series clock right now. We're joined by Mark Timmons of LA Dodger Talk, also of U.S. Water Systems, where they do everything but walk on water. So anything exciting going on in the world of U.S. Water Systems today, Mark?
Well, a lot of things. I mean, we are super busy. You know, we've been one of these fortunate companies. We've doubled every year the last couple of years. And, you know, the reason is we've got some really cool products to solve water problems. You know, whether you got smelly water, rusty water, contaminated water, bacteria in the water, we've got the solution to your problems. And we cut out the middlemen. We sell direct. So, you know, if you've got water problems, you need to come to us, because we're going to save you some money, and that could be exciting.
Well, how can people get a hold of Mr. Waterman?
Well, a lot of people try to get a hold of me around the neck. The best way is www.uswatersystems.com or call us at 800-608-USWA.
Well, guys, we do got to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk some Colts football. Obviously, we're going to get set up for our fantasy football lineup. Real quickly, Mark, do you have any thoughts on the Indianapolis Colts?
They've won one more game than they did all last year, and they still got eight more to go.
Well, there you go. And as we said earlier on in this show, that the Indianapolis Colts should be able to put a win together against the Titans and to have a winning streak with the Colts and Andrew Luck. Everybody's talking about playoffs now. Playoffs? Playoffs?
Playoffs?
Playoffs? What do you mean, playoffs?
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Oh, that's what I felt like saying when I heard that on the radio broadcast on Saturday after the win, and I heard Greg Ragstraw, which is a good friend of the show, but come on, guys. Really? Seriously?
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Josh, $2 bill, Josh. Playoffs? Are you kidding me?
Well, I do think that's a joke. But if the Colts can win tomorrow, Andrew Luck will establish himself, at least in his rookie year, as a better quarterback than Manning was. Manning had Falk and Harrison and won three games. Donald Brown is not Marshall Falk. Reggie Wayne is not Marvin Harrison. And that would give Andrew Luck 4 wins.
Mark, is it too soon to be talking about playoffs in the Indianapolis Colts?
Well, I mean, you know, logic tells you before the season, I said they would win somewhere between 5 and 8 games, and I'll still stand by that. But, you know, 8 games could possibly get him in the playoffs in the AFC as bad as they are this year. I can't really see him winning more than 8 games. If the AFC continues to be as bad as it's been, I could see them possibly winning 8 games. You know, as long as they're getting better, that's the key thing. And you know, Andrew Luck's the real deal. I mean, he is the real deal. And you know, he's exciting to watch. He's exciting to, you know, to see him grow. I mean, he's definitely better than Peyton Manning was in his rookie year. I mean, I watched that whole season with Peyton Manning, and I'm telling you right now, Andrew Luck is a better player than Peyton Manning was.
All right, guys, well, we got to take a break. When we get back, we're going to get right into the fantasy football huddle. Mark, you got to go, or can you stay around?
I'm going to have to go, Tom.
All right, buddy, we'll catch you next week, hopefully talking about the new world champion with the World Series. Guys,
yeah,
we got to
really have time for reality football, not let alone fantasy.
I understand. All right, guys, we'll get right back. Fantasy football huddle. And also, as you guys know, Halloween's coming up this week. And so, you know, we're going to do a little bit of Halloween music as well.
To get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Here we go. Blue 20.
Football. Catch the fever.
The sport of kings.
And now let's talk some football.
A lot of fun today.
The weather's been nice down here, huh?
Yeah, it has been. You know, it's
man, beautiful.
This is. You know, it was chilly last Sunday. It was chillier last Sunday, absolutely. But it's been nice.
This ain't no 50 degree right here now.
Well, they get this place cold before the game, don't they?
It was cold.
It's 22 degrees out here. Bleeding. So much for no rain, huh?
Coming down now.
All right, my minions, welcome back. Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Huddle. We do this every week. We are running a little bit late today. We just had a lot to get in. You know, I was just talking with our producer, Michelle, this morning. We have outgrown 2 hours. So we are just jam-packed, and we know that we give you a full plate of information. Now, one of the things I want to tell you to do to keep up on everything, go to The Balance, www.thebalanceonline.com. Follow us on Twitter, T-Balance. And, of course, for all you local guys here in Indianapolis that love pro sports in Indianapolis, IndyProSports.com, our partner company as well, Pro Indy on Twitter, guys. And check them out because I tell you one thing, we can't fit everything into 2 hours. My voice can't handle more than 2 hours, but we're going to be doing a lot of stuff in the works. Obviously, the Balance Radio Network is now running Speed Talk, and What Show Is This Now, plus the Balance. So, guys, we are growing, and we're growing because of you, my minions as well. Now, next Saturday, a little programming note. We will not be on the air live next Saturday. We'll be running a best of, as I will be moving into my new house. And so all of you minions who want to help move, come on over to the Balance Radio Studios and help me move my new house. But, all right, so we get into our fantasy football huddle, the Indy Pro Sports Fantasy Football Huddle. Jordan and me is $2 Bill Josh. We might have some other guys call in, but if you got some questions on your fantasy football huddle, if you got some questions on your fantasy football, give us a call. We'll get you set up and ready to go for tomorrow. 917-889-8516. All right, Josh, $2 Bill Josh. We're going to look at some of the favorable matchups going on this week, and what kind of an impact that will have on your particular player. And if we've got some time to get into buy, sell, trade, we will. Now, some of the matchups that I like this week, Sam Bradford, St. Louis against New England. First of all, let me tell you, I've not been impressed at all by New England this year. They just really, to me, have been a few sandwiches short of a picnic of getting everything together. And you know they have major problems when you let the Jets, 30th-ranked passing offense, throw for 328 yards, a career high, 9 completions of 15 or more yards by Mark Sanchez. Bradford's meeting with New England's hideously bad pass defense makes him a high-quality fill-in spot, especially if you got a quarterback on a bye week. Josh, let's talk about that. Sam Bradford, St. Louis, good quarterback choice for this week.
I would agree he's a good quarterback choice for this week, as the St. Louis Rams are my upset special of the week. I'm not impressed by the New England Patriots at all, and especially seeing how Aaron Hernandez is going to miss the game, and the Patriots' defense is not all that good. Look for Sam Bradford to throw for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns.
I absolutely right, guys, and I tell you what, and you know what, here it is. I know it all. You know, and I am the Rush Limbaugh of sports. That's never changed. That's never going to change. But I do want you to do your own research. But if you got a quarterback that's on a bye week, you need to look at Sam Bradford. And if you don't have a better choice for a good top-notch quarterback, and you have Sam Bradford and you haven't been playing him, certainly this is the week to play him. Another quarterback that I like this week in a good matchup, favorable, is Ben Roethlisberger against the Redskins. And yeah, and I understand that RG3 has been dominating the news out there in the nation's capital, on top of other things. But this would be a great week to place a bet with your friends that Big Ben Roethlisberger will throw for at least 300 yards, as of 6 of 7 quarterbacks of the Redskins faced this season have managed to do so with ease. Guys, when you're setting your lineup, one of the things you have to look at, it's not so much the current stats as it is current matchup. And you look at what the defenses have been allowed other fantasy quarterbacks to do, and look at your charts. They have them on all of the other, on all of them, and especially, I know for a fact, if you're on the Balance Radio Network, the charts are right there. Just hit, do your research and so forth. He's a top 10 quarterback this week, Josh. Ben Roethlisberger, Big Ben, getting it done in the nation's capital. Thoughts?
I would agree Ben Roethlisberger is a safe, if not spectacular, choice this weekend. You would look for Ben Roethlisberger to come out firing on all cylinders as he tries to get the Steelers to an above 500 record, as they're currently 3-3, and the Washington Redskins defense is not that good. I also look for RG3 to have somewhat of a bad game against the Steelers defense, which sucks for me because he's my starting quarterback.
And exactly, and I couldn't agree with you more. Well, now, you know, here's the thing. And we talk about matchups again. I have not, and by purpose and by design, have I not put Andrew Luck on my start list for this year, even though, as we just heard Mark say, that Andrew Luck is a better rookie quarterback, which maybe will open up some controversy, and maybe that's the question we want to know. Is Andrew Luck a better rookie quarterback than Peyton Manning? And that certainly that is a question that history will answer itself. But tomorrow you look at Andrew Luck versus Tennessee. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick's 25-point fantasy performance last Sunday was the fourth time this season a quarterback has produced at least 20 points against the Titans. I like this matchup. Andrew Luck is a good option for you to start. Again, a lot of these that we're talking about, guys, is quarterbacks that might fill in for your bye week situation. I'm by no means saying that Andrew Luck should be your permanent starter, but definitely in a bye week situation, or just to have a good option this week, Andrew Luck would be it, Josh.
I would agree Andrew Luck should have a good game on Sunday. And as far as Andrew Luck goes, he's already a better rookie quarterback. What I want to know is, he has Colts 3-3. Why isn't he getting any NFL MVP love?
Well, I think it's just that. I think the thing is, he's trying to replace Peyton Manning. We don't have time to get into that whole discussion. But I think when you put him up on a mantle against Peyton Manning, he's not measuring up. And I think that's exactly why you're not hearing that kind of a talk. So we move on down to a huge, huge rivalry, which is a fun game to watch anyway, even if you're just a football fan. And that's Tony Romo with the Cowboys versus the Giants. Now here's the thing. I'll be the first guy to admit that Romo has not been lightening up the score box lately. But that could change this week against the Giants. He has been absolutely plummeting them of late, averaging 305 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 28 fantasy points over the last 3 games against the Giants. So when you look at the matchups, Tony Romo is a perfect fit this week. Josh?
I'm going to sell Tony Romo. I just don't think the Cowboys have it in them. They have too many injuries on the offensive side. The Giants are tired of hearing talk about the Dallas Cowboys. I think Romo's going to have an awful game tomorrow.
Well, there you go, sir. And you know what? There again, guys, do your research, because you might come up with the decision that Josh has said, hey, you know, I'm going to steer clear of Romo. Not a big fan of him. But I'm saying that Romo is a good option for you. Now, I want to move over to some running backs. If we look at some of the favorable matchups in the running back situation, and let's look at this quite honestly, the running back position in most leagues, especially in your PPR leagues, are going to score you the most points. So we look at who we've got this week. And on my list here, going back to that Tennessee game, I think this is a good matchup on both sides of the fence. Now, I'm not picking. You know, we might see Donald Brown again this week. I am not a Donald Brown fan. But I'm not picking a Indianapolis Colt guy to put in this game. I'm picking Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson finds himself in a favorable department for the second consecutive week as the Colts yield nearly 5 yards a pop, and 23 fantasy average goes to the position on a weekly basis. So when you look at the fantasy comparison charts, Chris Johnson is a clear choice to play against the Indianapolis Colts, Josh.
Well, you could certainly start Chris Johnson, and there'd be nothing wrong. So the Colts did shut down Trent Richardson last Sunday, and he's a good fantasy running back. But, Tom, I'm going to take a different approach than you. This is a good matchup for Vic Ballard. If you have Vic Ballard, you might want to go ahead and consider making him your flex back or just starting him at running back for this 1 week only, as he looked really good last Sunday, and I expect he'll get a majority of the carries tomorrow.
And that's a very good option as well. And you know, here's the thing. I do know it all, but I found myself on the losing end of the dial against $1-$2 Bill Josh last week in fantasy football. So, you know, maybe, you know, I could tweak things a little bit, but it was a close game. But Josh did pull out a win, so I concede that win to him. But in other leagues, I did win because I really do know it all. Let's talk about Matt Forte, the Bears. Against Carolina. Guys, I'll tell you what, Carolina, stay clear of everything to do with Carolina, including Cam Newton. I've got him as well. I don't know that I'm going to play him this week either. Here's the thing. There's so much drama going on with Cam Newton, the coach. Is he, are we even going to have a Carolina new coach? Are we going to have an interim coach for the rest of the season? Carolina's a mess. And here's the thing. You look at Matt Forte. He's going to dominate this week against Carolina. The Panthers' stout showing against the Cowboys running back seemed more of a fluke than a reality. And it was only the second time this season a running back has failed in each double digits against them. So, guys, I'm telling you what, Matt Forte is the guy to be in your starting lineup. And then really in all by all rights, he should be in your starting lineup every week. Josh?
I would absolutely agree with that. The most interesting storyline in Chicago, Carolina, is Cam Newton actually going to cry because he's done everything else to be a crybaby except actually cry after a game?
I don't know. And you know, certainly I was a little bit baffled about that press conference from Cam Newton this week. I wish we had time to get into all of that. But unfortunately, the clock waits for nobody as we come down to our close to the end of our show here. Ryan Matthews, I tell you what, I like him. San Diego, the Browns, 4-3 defense, has been plagued with injuries and has struggled to contain the run, allowing 133 yards on the ground this season. Matthews is coming off a career high, 26 touch day before in week 7 before the bye, and you see a similar workload as this week. I tell you what, the Chargers are now considering a watered-down offense because Phillip Rivers recently had some turnover troubles. So this could be a situation where you might want to look at Ryan Matthews as a good opportunity to play against the Browns. Josh?
I would absolutely agree. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and project Ryan Matthews to gain 200-plus yards tomorrow on the ground against the Browns.
All right. We really want to move this along. I wish we had some time for some of the other positions as far as my key matchups. But now some of my unfavorable matchups that I don't like at all. Eli Manning. I wouldn't start Eli Manning this week. Our producer, Michelle, has Eli Manning and swears by Eli Manning. In fact, that was, I think, her number one pick. But Eli Manning this week against Dallas, as we just talked about, the struggles and what a great opportunity that Tony Romo has. On the other side of the fence, Eli Manning, Manning's game-saving 77-yard touchdown to Victor Cruz helped offset a pretty mediocre outing against a very beatable Washington Redskins secondary. But 15 fantasy points is still nothing to write home about, and Dallas is allowing the same amount to opposing quarterbacks on average this season, and Manning managed just 14 fantasy points against the Cowboys on opening night. I say set Eli Manning this week. That goes for you too, Michelle. Josh?
When it comes to Eli, just say no.
Speaking of just saying no, let's say no to Michael Vick. Against Atlanta, woo, boy, that's got danger written all over it. And Falcon safety Thomas DeCloud ranks the second in the league with in interceptions and with four in defensive end. John Abraham ranks third in forced fumbles, and three of which doesn't bode well for fantasy outlook. This turnover-happy quarterback is in week 8. Michael Vick might be riding pine soon. I'd get rid of Michael Vick. I certainly wouldn't play him this week. Josh?
I would agree. In the fact that Michael Vick's your starting quarterback, contact me on the Balance League, and I'll trade you Christian Ponder for the right price.
We'll look at some trades there as well, guys, and we're running close to our 2-minute warning here. So I'm just going to kind of go through some of my unfavorable running backs. Jonathan Stewart, I don't like him. Michael Turner with Atlanta, even though he's playing Philadelphia and Atlanta's having a great season, not a big fan of that. Not a big fan of Calvin Johnson, Victor Cruz, Larry Fitzgerald either, certainly. Not a favor against the Eagles, the Broncos, or the Steelers, or the Rams this week in defenses go. Well, guys, I really do wish that we had more time to dedicate to fantasy football, but like we said, we've got a full show. Remember, we will not be here next week. We'll be running a best of as well. Now, Josh, we've come to our 2-minute warning. I'm going to go ahead and give you 60 seconds to rant about whatever you feel like ranting about.
Wednesday night is the opening night of the Indiana Pacers season. And they open in Toronto, their home next Saturday, when they're going to debut the gorgeous new scoreboard. as I understand, Indy Pro Sports is going to have a taster preview later today and have it up hopefully by tomorrow. And as far as next Saturday goes, Tom, I'm looking forward to helping you move into the new Balance Studio. It should be a good time. And make sure you watch Notre Dame tonight and the Indianapolis Colts tomorrow.
All right, Josh, that's the first time you've ever been able to get anything within 60 seconds. I know you went out there and checked out the Fever. Congratulations to the Indiana Fever for winning world champions, the very first one. Josh, that was pretty incredible.
That was absolutely incredible, and a job well done, and I look forward to seeing the Pacers do the same thing in June.
All right, guys, well, that's going to do it for us. My one-minute rant is this, guys, quite simply. Going back to the IndyCar. IndyCar, you are looking like amateurs. You need to make your decision up. Tony George, no Tony George. Randy Bernard, no Randy Bernard. And guys, here's the thing. Randy Bernard is out. Tony George is in. There's a hostile takeover going on, guys. Stay tuned because this war is just beginning and the first shots have already been fired. Guys, we got to go. Make sure tomorrow you tune in for Speed Talk right here on the Balance Radio Network. And next week, what show is this? And remember, Saturday, we will not be here live. Best of as I move into my new home, guys. That's going to do it for us. Remember, don't drink and drive because it just ain't cool.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a gun. You thought I was going to say son of a didn't you?
That's all, folks.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.